Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all your movie and TV news with Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. And coming up this week, we've got a lot of stuff, so I don't have time to mention the new store that you can get through the cinemasavants.com website where you can get the t-shirts and the stickers and the posters and stuff. I don't have time for that. We're going to go straight into the news with, well, I guess we're going to start with Apple, who has a streaming video on demand service, as opposed to what kind of video on demand where they mail you a big reel that you hook up to a projector. Anyway, Apple's new streaming service is supposed to be free on Apple devices. That's not official yet, but CNBC is reporting it, and they're usually pretty good about this. Is that a good business idea to start a new service like that with?
Well, let's see. A new Apple phone is like, what, about $1,200? $10 a month for a streaming service, that's $120. So after 10 years of streaming service...
You might have paid for your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, but it will have broken by then.
That's a loss leader. I mean, no, you'll have replaced it 10 times because it's Apple.
Yes, true. Yep.
Exactly. It's a great point. It's a loss leader. It's exactly what it is. So you get people who want to tune in for that. And then, oh, I also have a new device. But yeah, I think it's a smart thing. It would start off, I mean, because you know you end up going to have to pay for it. Everybody's going to have to pay for it eventually. But start off with a free and people check it out. And it's like word of mouth spreads if it's a good product. And hey, Rob, you know, I know you don't want to pay for this, but check it out. And it's like, oh, Rob ends up paying whatever it is a month in the long run. I think it's a smart move.
I had to fix three MacBooks this week. I'm not buying anything Apple for a while. But yeah, so... Anyway, I thought that sounded interesting. And, you know, we got an email this week. We did. It was, I know it's new for us, but a longtime listener, what was it? Ted. I don't know whoever the hell this Ted guy is. He was not happy with me because we didn't mention Doctor Who coming out last Sunday. And I thought, you know, we had that interview with Alex Hoy last week.
You did mention it.
I kind of threw it in a little bit, but it doesn't really fit. We didn't talk about it. And I mean, last week, what else was there to say other than it's going to be a woman? That's all we knew. But now it is out, and we are bold to say our mother, who art in TARDIS, Doctor, be thy name. That's a church thing. Anyway, yeah, it was a newsworthy thing, but it's only what? We're two episodes in now. We've barely seen the TARDIS, and it needs better lighting, hint, hint. So, we'll get back to you once there's enough of it to review. Although, yes, I do realize that it was only one episode that killed the Inhumans. But this is Doctor Who. It'll live.
It will.
Other thing that kicked off this week was the Titans series, which I think we were all kind of curious to see how it would go. First original show on the DC Universe streaming service. And I can answer a few questions from it, like it's been a year between Robin leaving and this series starting. A lot of people were wondering, why does Robin use a gun in this? Well, because Dick Grayson is a cop. Cops use guns. Robin can use a gun. He doesn't carry one with him, but if he happens to come across it. There were some very odd musical choices made in this series. If you get the chance to watch it, you'll go... Okay, Raven's mom just died. She's running away to Detroit, so they're playing a New Orleans jazz song while she's on the bus. Huh? It doesn't... But,
it's a
funeral. The plus side...
It's a funeral.
Plus side being it had better choreography than Iron Fist Season 1.
I had better choreography than Iron Fist.
That's not... Season 1. I'll tell you how little that's saying. Iron Fist... Side yes. note, Iron Fist has been canceled after two seasons.
Yes. But apparently there's a chance that it's going to wind up being reincarnated on Disney's streaming service because some Marvel things are going to migrate over there. So I hope not because it should be canceled because the second season was better, but it's still.
We're not going to see – it's not the end of the character because where do we mostly know this character from? A book called – Power Man and Iron Fist. Power Man being Luke Cage. Luke Cage still having a series. Duh.
Yep. exactly.
actually, finishing up the other bad thing about the Titans that I did not care for was Starfire, who we know as an orange-skinned Tamaranian from absolutely every other incarnation of...
Are you talking about Marcus Mariota?
I could be. It would make more sense if I was, because in this version, Starfire is apparently a very rich, body-snatching Austrian hooker amnesiac. Because someone wrote a script. She does use her turn orange when she uses her powers, which she only does once in the first show, which somehow sets fire to an entire room except the picture that she needed to move the plot along. That was clever.
I think I met her in Plenty of Fish, actually, the body-snatching Austrian wicker.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch Titans and because this would be like the fifth streaming service I would have to subscribe to, and I'm not going to do that.
Oh, there's a free trial version.
Then I'll forget to cancel, so I'm still not going to do it. But when Doom Patrol comes on next year, I'll subscribe, because Doom Patrol will be worth it to me.
Well, I'll get to that in just a minute.
Yay!
Not quite there yet. I've got two things to bring up before that, because there is something, and this is... I'm mixing my Marvel and DC news because it's all intertwined this week.
It is.
James Gunn, who made Guardians of the Galaxy popular, which is really weird, has been hired to write and possibly even direct the second Suicide Squad movie. So you guys think this could save the DC universe?
I don't know that there's any saving the DC universe, but I mean, it's a good movie. I wonder if this is like a direct stat. I mean, James Gunn, I think, will do a great job, regardless of whatever he's starting off with. But I wonder if this is almost like a direct, because there are plenty of good writers, directors out there. Alex Hoy, for one, he would be great to take over Suicide Squad.
I think so.
But I wonder if this is kind of a direct jibe. It's like, huh. You know what would be really cool is if we take this guy that they said, oh, we don't want him, and he turns in another... And Suicide Squad was very successful financially. I mean, and compared to the big guns, it was not that bad critically either. So it's not like Suicide Squad was a flop. It was far from it.
Right.
But I mean, he could turn Suicide Squad into something really, really big, and I wonder if it's kind of like... Yeah, okay, we'll show you. We'll show you how badly you guys screwed up. You finally made a mistake, and we're going to jump on it.
Pounce, damn it. Pounce.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think DC eventually has to do, you know, something, a few things, a string of things in a row well. I mean, it's DC, after all, even though we bash it all the time, and it is deservedly so. It needs to be bashed compared to Marvel. But at some point, maybe there's a turn that happens, and maybe this is the start of that.
Yeah, I mean, it started with Wonder Woman, but then unfortunately then they dropped the ball again. But yeah, they could certainly turn it around. I mean, the trailers for Shazam look, or whatever they're going to call it, look funny, look good. I mean, that looks, you had mentioned that before, Lee, a few weeks ago. I mean, that looks like that's exactly the kind of the way they should handle that property. So yeah, maybe they'll pull it off. And I mean, good for James Gunn if this does work out. That would be awesome for him.
Now, there's actually some other... I'm indirectly linking this to James Gunn, but it starts with the Marvel comic book of Guardians of the Galaxy, where, I mean, the new version of the Guardians came out just before the movie did. And the movies have been kind of following the books to an extent. So when they relaunch the new Guardians of the Galaxy lineup, figure out who's missing from this list. The new team consists of Groot, Moondragon, Nova, Silver Surfer, a Cosmic Ghost Rider, Adam Warlock, Beta Ray Bill, Darkhawk, File Veil, who I don't know, Gladiator, and Star-Lord. Who's missing from that list? Could it be all the actors who supported James Gunn?
Interesting.
Maybe we know who's going to die in the fourth Avengers movie. It could be a spoiler.
You never know.
We'll find out whenever that movie decides to, what, May, I think, is coming out. Which is long before this next thing that, going back to the DC Universe, they released the trailer for the Harley Quinn series that's supposed to be big and bad and edgy and everything.
Of course.
and it looks crap. At least I think it looks crap. I mean, the Harley Batman movie looked almost better than this.
Oh, that's awful.
It had two good points to it. One being Poison Ivy in the background constantly saying, people are not going to like this series because it's going to suck. I agree with her, if this is any indication, because Harley Quinn doesn't look right. The voice is wrong. Anyway, there's a number of things. But Harley mentions one cute thing about how, unlike the Deadpool cartoon, this one's actually coming out. Okay, cute jab, except the DC Universe announced its release schedule. Now, follow me on this. Right now, the Titans is out. Young Justice Part 1 comes out in January, Doom Patrol in February, Swamp Thing in June, Young Justice Part 2 at the end of June, Stargirl in August. Have I mentioned Harley Quinn yet? Because we're well into next year when it comes out in October of next year.
Huh. That's kind of a long wait.
Yeah, I mean, as long as Jane Seymour is still in it, I'm fine. I mean, it's...
Wow. That's just a long wait for a series that you've obviously done at least parts of.
That's odd.
I'm thinking. And the last direct mainstream comic thing that I want to see if you guys make any sense out of this. You remember when CBS started by making Supergirl and then decided it wasn't worth it and gave it back to the CW?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing it again. Only this time they're adapting the DC comic Secret Six, which stars villains for some reason, like Owlman, or maybe that's Catman. I can't tell who it is because it's someone that I've never seen or rarely seen anyway. Deadshot and Bane, which is kind of weird. So I'm thinking, expect to see this on the CW in about 3 years.
That's, yeah.
Does CBS own CW?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's their trash dump.
Gotcha.
Not that everything, they have a lot of series that are better than things that are on CBS, but I mean, that's kind of how they use it. It's like, okay, yeah. If it's not good enough for network, which is weird because is there any distinction between networks and streaming services and cable? I mean, there's like, you watch them. It doesn't matter how you watch them. Everything virtually has the same amount of access now. So it's kind of funny that they kind of make that distinction. Oh, this is not good enough for broadcast. It's like, whatever, dude.
Just a thing that doesn't track very well.
Yeah.
Something that does track, and I know that the two of you were very interested in seeing this when they announced M. Night Shyamalan's new movie. I'm always going to call him that, and you're going to have to get over it. Glass, which now has a full-length trailer, which I know both of you saw this week. What did you guys think of that?
I was tickled and excited.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way of putting it, tickled. Because it looks like it, if it's well made, if it's made the way it looks like it on the trailer, it's going to be fun.
Right.
Instead of it could be something that ends up being just dour trash when it comes out because it is M. Night, Shaka whatever Khan. You said, Shaka Khan. It looks fun. I mean, it looks like that should really be the point of that movie anyway. It shouldn't be anything. I mean, you can have some elements of suspense, obviously, but
sure.
You know, you're going to go to the theater to see a fun, entertaining film, and I, you know, hold my breath when it's that guy directing it, but.
I mean, it's
the source material that he's used before, or that this is coming from, was good, you know, mostly. So hopefully this one will be, you know, maybe it's just in his zone there, and he actually produces something that's what's entertaining instead of you going and paying $12 to see The Happening 2 or something.
Yeah, I would say fun in the sense that a movie about an evil genius using a serial killer to create his world vision, as fun as that can be.
Well,
I think it does look fun.
Right.
I think it does look fun. Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, it's not going to be, because Unbreakable is not overly. I mean,
you say that, dour. And it seems like we're watching a documentary on the Trump administration. But I mean, really, you know, it's a movie that is, it should be fun, even though based on what you said is correct, it should still be entertaining. And
oh yeah, it's going to be kind of, it's going to be a dark film. But I mean, but if they can still be fun, they don't have to be overbearing and dreadful as if
DC made it.
As if DC made it, exactly.
Right, I was thinking right. Mr. Well, Snyder, just like the Christian Bale films, the Batman films are dark, but they're fun.
Right, exactly. You know,
that's what makes them good.
Very much so. I agree. Yeah, it looks like it has every chance to be terrific, which is nice to have Mr. Shaka Khan back among the actual directors. Because, man, he was gone for a long time.
Well, let's see what you think about this one then. Because I think the first two of these movies were kind of dark. John Wick Chapter 3. Oh, dear. I'm not sure what to make of this, because the only picture we've really got so far is of Keanu Reeves riding a horse down a street, I think in New York, being chased by motorcycles on a horse. And I have a quote from director Chad Stahelski. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. I've only seen it written. And there's no pronunciation key, so screw him. He had a quote about things we're going to see in the new film, and the quote is, "We'll see horses, dogs, cats, a raven, a bunch of pigeons, a motorcycle chase, car chase, Halle Berry, Lawrence Fishburne, Ian McShane, Lance Reddick, shotguns, and ninjas." Because we haven't seen ninjas in this. Does any of this make you go, "Ooh, I need to run out and see this movie"?
It does for me.
I haven't seen the first two, I'll be honest.
It does for me because I love the first two movies.
It just sounds like they took the first two movies I thought were pretty good, but this one just sounds like they went, let's throw everything in and make it kind of silly.
Well, the second one is much more over the top than the first one. Yeah. I can see it working as long as it's not. I have trust that they'll keep it kind of restrained, and I love the title. We talked about this a long time ago, but I love it. It's John Wick 3 Parabellum. I love that because it refers to the ammunition and also literally means prepare for war. So pretty cool. So, I mean, it's the fact that they're smart enough to give it a cool title that actually has double meanings gives me hope for the entire process. So if they're paying that much attention to that, I think they're paying attention to the whole project. So, and I have a feeling that if, I don't have a feeling, I've got pretty strong conviction that if Keanu Reeves looked at the script and said, nah, we're going too far off track, he would say, change the script. Because obviously, as far as this project goes, he would have the power to do that and say, this doesn't work for me. This is too stupid. This is Crank 3. I don't want to do Crank 3. So, Crank 3 would be awesome. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Well, let's see what you guys think about this one, too. Look, more Guardians of the Galaxy news. Not really. Dave Bautista, who is not going to do Guardians of the Galaxy anymore, according to him, is in negotiations to join the big screen version of the Fantasy Island movie.
Is he playing Tattoo?
No.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Although, that's not actually the news that came out of this. I think this is interesting. Because you remember the original premise where people would go to Fantasy Island and have their fantasies come true for them. This one is supposed to be, what did they describe it? Where is it? It's Westworld meets Cabin in the Woods. Where they go there and they're supposed to have their fantasies come true, only they come true in a very dark and creepy way.
I like it. Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, if you're going to redo it, you know, redo it so that it's very different and this counts.
I wonder if Dave Bautista is going to be selling rich Corinthian leather now.
He's not playing Mr. Michael Pena is playing Mr. Rourke.
Michael Pena? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That actually sounds really cool, too.
It does. I want to get tickets now. I'm like, Dave Bautista and Michael Pena? Holy crap.
So is Bautista...
I don't know who he's supposed to be in it, but he's in talks to become part of it.
Maybe he plays the island, Talking Island.
he could. Who else is in this? Jimmy O. Yang and Jeff Wadlow.
I'm glad it wasn't Jimmy Olsen, because for a moment I thought you were going to say that for, you know, why not? But sure. That sounds really cool. That sounds like it's going to be a really fun movie.
Let's see. How about a fun TV show, even if it is on Amazon Prime Video? A trailer came out this week for Good Omens, which is set to be a film about an angel played by Michael Sheen and a devil played, or a demon, I guess, played by David Tennant, who aren't enthusiastic about the forthcoming apocalypse.
That's a great book. I'm really looking forward to this, especially with the cast, especially the fact that they were smart enough to realize we can't make a movie. We need to do a series. Hint, hint. Maybe you should have thought about that when you made a movie out of the zombie thing with Brad Pitt.
World War Z.
World War Z. Yeah, God.
World War Z.
Yeah, that was... It's a fun movie, but it's atrocious compared to what it should have been. So,
Zombie Bees, World War Z.
Really happy that they're making a series of this, and with that cast, I have high hopes for it, because the book is awesome. Hilarious in a very dark, evil way.
The trailer looks good, and I like how Sol and Rob, before the show, because I watched the trailer, and actually, I like how they, if the same people are involved in making the trailer that they are making the show, instead of just some production company saying, hey, how can we sell this in a good trailer, then I think it's a good thing, because they use a Queen song, a Best Friend song, and it's like, oh, this might be really cool. And it looks, visually, it looks really, really good. And I don't have anything with Prime, because I actually, Mozart in the Jungle is one of my favorite shows, and it's a Prime show.
And we were right, Lee. I just saw a thing that BBC Studios is behind it.
Okay. Well, now I'm even more hopeful. It'll be good.
There you go.
Hopeful for that. I'm not sure if I'm hopeful for the Rocket Man movie. Because I mentioned this to Todd last week. There's a teaser out for Rocket Man, and apparently Taron Egerton is not just playing Elton John, he's singing. And I'm not entirely sure this is a good, because it's not like Elton John's dead. He can come back and sing the songs in the movie if you need to.
No. And the problem, I've seen the trailer. The problem is Edgerton's diction is way too good for Elton John. I mean, wow. But it still looks, it looks fun. It was weird because I saw it before whatever it was I saw. A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born, probably.
Yeah. And they played the Freddie Mercury biopic, and then the next trailer was the Elton John thing, and I'm like, they both look good. I mean, they both look like they'd be entertaining, although Bohemian Rhapsody looks a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But I kind of see what you're saying. It's like Elton John is still,
Taron Egerton's recent movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. It's almost like, I feel like it's a good premise for a film in 20 years, but not now.
That's exactly what I said when we were talking about it before. It's like, I don't really know that anybody really cares to see an Elton John movie right now.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, we can't wait till he dies so we can. That's not the point. But just like you said, 20 years down the road, I think a lot of people would be interested in it once it's removed. I mean, they didn't do a movie about Freddie Mercury when Freddie Mercury was still up on the stage.
Because he wouldn't have allowed it.
Well, that too. But yeah, I don't know that anybody even cares that there's going to be an Elton John movie. It's just,
even if it does have the tagline "based on a true fantasy."
Yeah, based on a true fantasy is like, okay, fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Speaking of fantasies, see, aren't the segues going very nicely this week?
They're quite smooth, like butter.
20th Century Fox.
I just
Fox.
Have an Aldo Nova song going through my head. Thank you very much.
That's not my fault. I cannot be held accountable for that. 20th Century Fox is apparently in process of making a remake of the 1993 family film Rookie of the Year. And my two things I'm thinking about this. One, apparently 20th Century Fox is making it for Disney. Hint. And two, if you remember the premise for Rookie of the Year, it's a, I don't know how old the kid was, 10-year-old kid or something, had a tendon surgery, and all of a sudden he can pitch 180 miles an hour, so the Cubs sign him because they're desperate to win the World Series. The Cubs have won the World Series since then, so which team is desperate enough to sign this kid? I'm coming up with the Mariners and the Padres, and even then, I don't think they'd sign him.
I know the Marlins wouldn't sign him.
No, the Marlins have won two World Series the past 50 years.
And they're not signing anybody. They're not signing vendors. No. So,
well,
yeah.
And the problem is you guys are kind of hitting on it. I mean, I love the Mariners, but nobody's going to see a Mariners film or a Padres film or a Marlins film. The Cubs are an easy sell.
Right.
The Cubs are a nationwide thing because of WGN showing baseball constantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I don't know who the team would be, because it can't be the Indians have already had a, you know, they've already had a movie made, and it can't be the Astros, and nobody gives a crap about the Royals or something like that, even though they've won. That's a good question. I don't know who it would be. The Angels?
It wouldn't make sense for it to go to the Cubs.
No.
No.
Yeah, and that's a good question. There has to be a team that people would care about. That to some extent. I mean,
they're going to make it a football team. He'll be signed by Buffalo.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't know in the bigger picture if it's that important, because it's the story of the kid more so than the team, but it certainly helps.
It helps have a team.
Yeah.
It helps that you have a Cubs fan base.
Sure.
Full 10, and maybe they'll say anything.
Marlins don't have a fan base now.
That's true. No, they do not. And they don't deserve one now. Well, the players do, but the organization doesn't.
Right.
I don't know. That is a tough question, because
maybe it's the Iron Pigs.
That would be awesome.
So, speaking of bizarre fan bases,
people saw Bull Durham.
That's true.
That's true.
Well, actually, people saw this too.
Iron Pigs.
NBC is talking about making a supernatural thriller based on Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Isn't that a book, though?
It is a book by
a book and a movie.
Seth Graham Smith. Actually, the movie was not that bad.
I didn't know they made a movie.
Yeah,
it was very Buffy the Vampire Slayer-ish.
Yeah,
only with more blood.
It was. I don't think it was really good. It wasn't really bad.
Hideous.
But it was just kind of like.
Wasn't DC bad.
It was not. It was not DC bad. But.
It's not something I would voluntarily go see in the theater again if I wasn't reviewing it for this show.
There are so many supernatural type shows. I mean, it's a huge genre. So if you don't wear a cape, then carry a wooden stake. Either way, you have to have one or the other these days, it seems like. So,
moving on to the next series.
I get a 13-episode run.
If that. How about this one? 20th Century Fox is creating something else for Disney. They've been making a lot of announcements since they got bought, haven't they?
Yeah, they have been.
20th Century Fox is going to be remaking the classic David Carradine-led series Kung Fu again.
So my question is, do they actually get someone who knows martial arts, or do they get another freaking dancer?
Ryan Gosling has been attached. I really hope I'm kidding. I really do. Yeah,
for a series, I would assume that it would be like an executive producer.
Yeah.
No one's been attached yet. I don't know.
You know, Kung Fu was a fun show for its time, but you know, when you think of like the fact that they could have had Bruce freaking Lee every week on television and not as the sidekick who got
Kato?
The guy who got three lines of show is like.
Although he was really good on that episode of Batman.
Okay. Bruce Lee is excellent. Do not. In everything.
And let's see. Something I'm going to throw in, because I like this last story, whether the two of you do or not. And since I'm mixing it so there. Yes, I'm going to tie this together. Just give me a minute. Rush released their last album in 2012. It was called Clockwork Angels, and drummer Neil Peart got together with sci-fi author Kevin J. Anderson and made a novel out of it, also called Clockwork Angels. It's a steampunk thing. It was very cool. It spawned a sequel called Clockwork Lives, which is also a really... Both of the books are just awesome. And now Clockwork Lives is being supposedly slightly rewritten and produced by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes, the guy who do the Flash and Arrow TV series, as well, actually, right now they're still juggling as to whether it should be a film or a TV series. I'm hoping for TV series, because this would be like one of those books where you go, there needs to be more than just a 2-hour movie, because it's not that it's that long, it's just that it's that intricate. So
that's pretty cool. Kevin J. Anderson is a good gun for hire type. He did a lot of the novelizations, or not novelizations, but they were new pieces in the X-Files universe. He did several of those, and everything he wrote was really good. So
he's done some of the Star Wars books before they got retconned, which was damn annoying, but they're still good.
They snapped their fingers and they were gone.
Damn you, Harry Potter. At least that's who I'm. No, wait, I'm sorry. Ted. We'll blame Ted for that.
Ted snapped his fingers.
Yeah, Ted snapped. And Thanos appeared. And no, it's just a bizarre thing. Anyway, good news to end the show on. And come back on Friday, because two of us watched the same movie and they were both going to review it on the Friday review show. So come back then, and until then, you go watch a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed.
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.